Everyone to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad that you are joining us today for this live broadcast. It is beautiful, it is hot, it is muggy in Clearwater, Florida today. And wherever you are, I hope the weather's treating you well. We've had so many awful weather catastrophes lately, Pastor Jim. It's just we need a let up in some of this. Yeah. You know, a lot of people have suffered recently, and our hearts go out to them, and our prayers are lifted for these in Oklahoma and so many that have suffered in the last few months in particular, it seems like. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and you hosted the show last week.
I hosted it last week.
And you are great, and you and Cedric managed to just hold the fort down, didn't you? You guys were great. Yes, yes. It's always fun. I really hate to be gone, but my granddaughter graduated from high school last weekend, so I went to Indiana for that. And a big celebration and time with my kids and grandkids. It was just wonderful. And I drove 2 days and drove 2 days back.
That's nice. But it is. It's a very nice drive from Florida up to Indiana. Very
it
nice.
Is. And the weather
very
was
scenic.
Oh, it was scenic. It was beautiful. The mountains, the Smokies. It was all beautiful. And had no issues, problems. It was just wonderful. The drive was great. So it's good to be back. And love being on the radio with you, Pastor Jim. And we're going to share the word. It's going to be a good day. And Megan, one of our radio team members from Indiana.
From Indiana.
From my old church up there, who I did see last week, Megan and Betty. And Megan's son, Andrew. The guys were at work, but we went out to lunch, and it was nice, very nice, on a rainy day in Indiana that day. But anyway, so it's so good to be back. And we just hope you all enjoy this show. It's going to be a very important show, Pastor Jim. We're down to the last show of our series on Ephesians, and then we're going to start something new next week, to be determined, TBD. But anyway, Ephesians, hasn't it been a powerful study? Haven't you enjoyed this? I have.
I have. I really like the book of Ephesians.
Oh, I do too. One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's one of mine too.
You have so many favorites, and I
know,
do, too.
It's like, yeah, about 27 out of the 27 books in the New Testament
right,
are my favorites.
Right,
But I really do enjoy Ephesians. There's just so much meat. There's so much.
Yes.
There's so much good stuff to be mined from the book of Ephesians.
It's just wonderful, yeah. And we've been on the sit, walk, stand deal all through the book of Ephesians, all six chapters. And now we're at the end of it in the stand portion. So we're going to really get into some nitty-gritty things today. And we had a great service this morning at Beacon of Hope. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to join us anytime. We are temporarily meeting in a hotel, which is 3580 Almerton Road in the Ramada Inn.
Right, the Ramada Inn.
It's very nice, though.
It is very nice.
Nice facilities while we find something else. Because we were no longer in our lease where we were, and so it was time to find something. And we still haven't found what we want. But the time will come, and we will. And in the meantime, we are blessed by the hotel. And we're still continuing. This is show number, I couldn't believe it, Jim, when I looked at this a minute ago. Show number 322. That's a lot of shows. We're in our seventh year on the air with this radio station. It's just a blessing. Cedric, you've been our engineer for well over a year now, I believe. And maybe a year and a half. I don't know. It's been quite a while, hasn't it?
I could probably tell you. I'd have to check.
You have to think it up. But it's been a while.
Yeah.
Definitely been a while. And you're a blessing to us, Cedric. You've got such a great attitude, and And you add all those little, you know, things when we need them, like applause and stuff. So,
or like last week when you came up with the song that I thought, oh, it'd be nice if I had Revelation by Third Day. And Cedric pops in and says, I've got it.
You oh, hear wow. It? Really? Oh, that's great. Fantastic. Well, we appreciate you, Cedric. And show number 322. So for all of you out there, let's start with a word of prayer and then we're going to get going. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed opportunity, this time to be sharing your word and in music and in chat and in teaching and reading your word. God, it is such a joy to be able to share the word with these dear listeners. So we ask today, Lord, that your wisdom would flow, that your peace would flow to our listeners, and that they would just be able to grasp the concepts in a very profound way, these life-changing concepts. And Lord, let this be a day not only of just the opportunity for the word to go forth, but a day of where people really get it, where it gets down on the inside of them and changes them. So we thank you and we praise you in advance for what you're going to do on this show today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, this song. This is the one that Megan found, I think. Or you did you already know this one by Chris Tomlin?
I knew this one from Christian radio.
Well, Megan will be on with us in a minute, and she's going to be thrilled that we're using this one. Whom shall I fear? Great song. We love it. Oh, we're going to start doing that one at Beacon. It's a great song. Whom shall I fear? He's the God of angel armies. And Megan is going to join us in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That is what God asks us to do through the words of the Apostle Paul. Finally, when all is said and done, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. put on the full armor of God. And Pastor Jim, you taught on this last week, so I'm just going to read through this, and we're going to get to verse 14 here. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. Yeah, we're going to really emphasize that. Stand against the devil's schemes. We're going to talk about his schemes in a few minutes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now, we've said in the book of Ephesians that it's really divided up into three major parts: sit, walk, and stand. If you've missed all of our teaching on sit and walk, get back to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. All our shows are there. And you can go back over the last few weeks of this series and really learn what it means to sit and to walk. But now we're here on stand, Pastor Jim. And I think this is really hard for a lot of people, to stand up against the devil's schemes. In fact, some people don't even acknowledge that the devil ever has any schemes.
Right, right. Well, and that's probably his biggest scheme.
There you go. It is. It has to be.
Keith Green had that song, "No One Believes in Me Anymore."
Right.
The Devil's Lament. But right. it was very tongue in cheek because, right. you know, he can get away with a lot if we don't think he's there.
Exactly.
And
a lot of people do minimize his existence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, but Paul says our battle, first of all, is not against flesh and blood.
Right.
But against the unseen forces behind the flesh and blood.
Right.
And then, you know, he says that you may be able to withstand. I think people misunderstand standing with inactivity.
Oh, yeah. That's probably right.
I know somebody brought that up at Bible study.
Yeah.
I don't know, a few weeks ago, when we just were starting to talk about standing. It's easy to confuse it with standing still,
right,
with inactivity, and that's not what it is. That's why I like the word withstand, that you withstand. May be able to withstand.
Right.
Because that shows, yeah, you're standing, but you're not inactive. You're doing something. You're withstanding. You're battling.
Absolutely. And even when we're standing still, we've talked about, that takes muscles to stand still mm-hmm. indefinitely. And, you know, not move anything like the palace guards at Buckingham.
Right.
That takes a lot of self-control to not fidget or not go from one foot to another or not want to sit down in a comfortable chair. Standing is not that easy. Spiritually, we're talking about withstanding whatever the devil brings
exactly.
at us, right?
All those schemes and,
yes.
you know, each part of the armor.
Right.
Each part of the armor counteracts one of the devil's schemes, one or more of the devil's schemes.
Right.
That just came to me.
Go ahead.
There's a whole teaching about that.
There
I'm
you
sure.
go. I'm sure.
But, you know, it talks about your waist girded about with truth. Well, who's the devil? The father of lies.
Absolutely.
Breastplate of righteousness. Of course, it's talking about God's righteousness. You know,
right.
we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
On our own, we don't have righteousness.
Right. right.
And Satan loves to remind us of that, or to get us into self-righteousness. It's remembering that our righteousness is God's righteousness.
Right.
Not
exactly.
ours.
Right.
And then, you know, feet, and I like the way the New International Version puts it, with the preparation of the gospel
yeah.
of peace.
Right. Yeah.
The readiness that comes from the gospel of
yes.
peace.
Yes. Amen.
You know, peace, Satan likes to make chaos.
Right.
Well, here, our feet have the readiness of the gospel of peace.
Amen.
The shield of faith. Another big scheme of the devil is unbelief.
Unbelief and doubt. Yes.
And then the helmet of salvation. Well, obviously he's not in the salvation business.
Right.
The devil's in the damnation business.
That's exactly right.
And then the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God.
Right.
You know, the word of the devil, the word of man, whatever, he's trying to pit that against the word of God. So for each of the devil's schemes,
right.
we have armor.
Amen.
For despair, we have praise.
Right.
You know, we have joy.
Amen. Which is a powerful weapon,
oh,
joy.
Amen.
Oh, it
amen.
Is. And so when we look at all these weapons, and we are told by Paul here, and we have learned by our own experience, that it's not the easiest thing in the world just to stand firm, but we are told over and over again, we have to stand firm. And when you take your stand against what the devil is throwing at you, no matter what it might be going on in your life right now, this show is really going to help you get stronger and learn how to stand. And we're going to use the word of God and point out teaching to you that's going to help you understand that. Let's look at verse 14 through 18 before we bring Megan in here. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, which you talked about a minute ago, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I love the all thing. It just really, there's no
not
exceptions.
Some, yeah.
There's no exceptions, you
not
know?
Not some, not most, but all.
Right, all of it. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This is what we're going to talk about today. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Such an offensive weapon. Taking that sword and going after whatever circumstances are coming at us with the word of God, because the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And so I love that song we just played about God of the angel armies. You know, who are we afraid of? We don't need to be afraid of anybody or any circumstance or any problem, because we can stand firm on the word of God.
Right. It's, you know, there's words in that song. I know who goes before me.
Yes.
I know who stands behind.
Yes.
And that's right out of Scripture.
Exactly.
You know, the glory of the Lord, and the Lord will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your
rear
guard.
Yes.
You know, we're the God of the heavenly host, of the angel armies.
Yes.
Surrounds us.
Right.
That's.
I think a lot of times, PJ, we don't get that concept. We don't understand He's right there with us. You
right.
know. We know when we get saved that He comes and lives in us. But Jesus said He'll be in you, the Holy Spirit, in you and around you, with you, you
with
know?
Us.
And we got to realize we're surrounded. We're surrounded with the power of God.
It's as we abide in Jesus that, you know, and sometimes we make abiding too hard.
Right.
You know, it says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, if you abide in me. Okay, I'm the vine, you're the branches. We're attached.
We're attached.
We don't have to try to attach to Jesus.
Right.
We're already attached.
We're attached.
We're already abiding there.
Woo!
We just have to rest. We just have to believe it and rest in that and know that it's happening.
Amen.
And so, same thing with spiritual warfare. We're going to be in warfare.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it says to stand in His strength. Well, all throughout Ephesians, Paul says, this is what's in you.
Right.
The almighty power of God. God
Amen.
Himself is in you.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is
Woo.
In you.
Yes.
So having God in us and around us, we just need to become more aware of, maybe more, as I think it's Kenneth Copeland says, God inside minded.
Yes, God inside minded.
We need to
yes.
remember that He's always with us.
Yes.
And it goes before, behind, within. We're just completely encompassed around about.
And He is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, Revelation 19:13 says that when He comes on the horse, there's going to be a big banner that says the Word of God. He is the Word of God. In John, it starts out by saying the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. So the Word that we're talking about here, standing firm on the Word, is Jesus.
Right.
And His words. Oh, Megan, are you there? We want you to join this chat.
Hi, you guys.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, Meg. So good to see you last week, you and Mama and baby Andrew.
Good to see you too, Pastor.
Yes, it's always fun. It's wonderful. Megan, we are really acknowledging not only the power of God through His presence in our lives, but through the Word of God today. This whole show is going to be about that. I mean, there's no reason to fear, because God is with us all the time and we have His Word. What a precious thing to have the Word of God. We're not in the dark here. We know the power we have. Talk to us, Megan.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what, this is going to be a powerful show.
It is, isn't it?
And I'm just, my veins are just pumping. Oh, I just can't even tell you. I just wanted to start out by saying, I just feel like where the Holy Spirit is leading me, is that when a soldier goes into battle, which we are soldiers for God,
yes,
here
we
on
are.
Earth and in the heavenlies,
yes,
that you never send a soldier into battle without their armor.
All right.
And talking about, you know, the armor of God, what you guys just went over. And the thing that really struck me, I've been, you know, studying, because I love being on the radio and I love to try to study and be prepared as much as I can. It helps me to learn.
Right.
And what I was reading is I found that swords in battle are
right.
used for close combat.
Oh.
They're not for long-range warfare.
Very so, good point. Yes.
Yes. So if we were able to fight from a long distance, we would never experience trials and tribulations in our lives.
Right.
And what I think of as a trial would be, you know, going through difficult times. But when we go through difficult times, that is a time for spiritual and Christian growth.
Amen.
And
yes, it is.
Some of those trials can be uncomfortable, but they're essential for growing as a Christian.
Amen.
And another thing that I was thinking about was the Word of God, you know, being the sword.
Right.
Is if you don't use it, you lose it.
Right.
So if you're going to be a soldier, you got to be in the Word, because you got to make sure that your sword stays as sharp as possible, like a samurai sword, because you want to be able to cut through the lies and the deceit
yes.
that Satan is going to try to throw at you every single day of your life.
Absolutely. And I think, Megan, so many people are lulled asleep. You know, they're like just in la-la land about the fact that the devil wants them defeated, discouraged, sick, lazy, not committed, just kind of there, just kind of, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah. What we call around here fire insurance, you know, that salvation experience maybe was just to make sure they don't go to hell when they die, but in the meantime they're not living with an active sword in their hand. You just, and so often I think people have laid down their sword, Megan. A lot of times they don't even know where their Bible is, let alone have scriptures that they use to fight the devil. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean. And the song that you started out with is, I don't remember, I think we were talking about Romans 8 when you were headed back to pick up your grandson.
Right.
And I just pulled that up, and it says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose?
Yes.
If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely Ooh. Do for us?
So he,
I mean, there
you go.
No doubt in your mind.
Right. Woo, Pastor Jim, speak on that. That's good point, Megan. Good point.
Well, and I think that speaks to what one of Satan's major roles is as the accuser of the brethren.
Right.
We think, oh, I didn't do this, or I did this. I didn't read my Bible enough. I didn't pray long enough. I had an impure thought, you know, whatever, and that disqualifies me from
right.
the battle.
Right.
No.
Not at all.
Because what happens is Satan figures if he can just stop us there.
Right.
Well, we need, you know, if we haven't done something, if we did something that's a sin, we just need to repent of it, get back in the battle. The blood
Absolutely.
Of Jesus washes us, and we don't have to think, well, gee, I don't know if I'm ready. Well, yeah, you're ready.
Right.
You know, God has commissioned, he's called, commissioned, and empowered us.
Amen.
To fight against the enemy.
Well, you just said the condemnation, and I, you know, we taught on it Wednesday night. I think this is one of the worst problems that Christians have that actually stymies people. You know, that's an interesting word, but I mean, you know, it kind of slows you down from your spiritual walk, and it gets you off track,
right.
You know, gets you clear, you know, off the road, so to speak, and you're just get lost in, you know, allowing the devil to beat you up. This is a huge problem.
Well, what happens so often is Satan will either drag up things from before you got saved, or he'll drag up things from after you got saved, and A, remind you that you were stupid enough to do some silly, pretty silly things, and B, just remind you that you know, are you sure God forgave you for this?
Right.
You know, because that lowers, that starts lowering your faith. That takes your faith down a right. level each time, because it's like, oh, I don't know, maybe I didn't pray enough. Maybe I'm not, you know. That's when we have to go back right. to the Word
right.
and read the Word, what the Word says about forgiveness.
Yes.
About, you know, as far as the East is from the West.
Right.
So far as He removed our transgressions from us.
Amen.
As high as the heavens are above the earth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from every sin.
From every sin.
We need to just be able to pull those out.
That's using your sword.
Exactly.
What you're doing right there is using your sword. Megan, talk to us, because so many people don't ever memorize Scripture or learn the Word enough to be able to use it, or they have never been taught the importance of the sword of the Spirit. Talk to me about that. You grew up in it, but you're an exception to the rule, you know?
Right. Oh, you know, this. I could go on and on about this, but Mom and I were having a discussion this morning about, you know, you're talking about standing and
right.
how too often when you're not involved and you're not in your word, when you're not in your sword,
right.
how many people allow Satan to pour concrete on top of their feet?
Oh yeah, so absolutely.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, so that they can't be ready to move.
Good point.
When an attack comes out, then how many people are stuck?
Well, and what is it? What is the concrete metaphorically made up of?
Deceit, lies,
yeah.
what you've done in the past,
right?
Everything that you've done that you know that it would be wrong in God's eyes.
Shame, yes,
exactly.
Condemnation.
And guess what? That sword, because in the Bible it says it can cut through bone and marrow.
So Hebrews 4:12
cut through the concrete on your feet.
Woo! Yes, yes.
And
right.
You can come out of your condemnation. You can slash the devil with even just saying, I am covered by the blood of Jesus from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And guess what? That envelops you in a safety of protection from any attack from any angle.
Mm-hmm.
Megan, does that really work?
Oh, it does. I can tell you that it does, because when I do it, it seems that, yes, it does. It totally does work. But there's these little pings that come at my armor on a daily basis. And I'll tell you what, if I don't put on my armor fully,
right.
then sometimes those little darts or those little arrows can get into my flesh and it tries to bring me down. But that's when I pull my sword out of my sheath and I start praying and I start slashing at Satan and his lies and his deceit, because that's another promise of God, that He gives us a discerning spirit
yeah.
to be able to see through deceit and lies.
Right, absolutely. And too often, the devil knows our weaknesses, Jim and Megan. I mean, I have found in my own life.
Totally.
When there is an area, let's say something in your past, let's just give an example, that you are really ashamed of, you know, and you don't want anybody to know, okay, and you just hope that nobody ever finds this out. When you are getting ready to do battle in the spirit and really pray for someone, invariably the devil will bring up something like that, a memory. Oh, well, how dare you pray? Because after all, if they, those prayers in that room, knew what you've done, oh my, you know, it's accusation. It's the accuser of the brethren working overtime. Jim, talk to us about this.
Which is what he likes to do.
That's what he does.
You know, that's kind of his stock in trade.
Right.
He, like you said this morning, he accuses us to ourselves. He makes
right.
us feel guilty.
Right.
Oh, you know, kind of like twist on what he said, what he told Eve in the garden.
Right.
Did God really say you'd be forgiven for that?
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Did he really say that? You know, and then he accuses us to others.
Right.
You know, other people get a bad idea of us or whatever.
Right.
There's that bad blood between two people. And he accuses us to God.
Right.
And, you know, Revelation 12:11, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and by not loving our lives.
Right.
I mean, that's, the blood of the lamb is the foundation of it all.
I never got there this morning with that third thing. You're right.
The blood of the lamb is the foundation.
It is. It's
because that's our forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, that's just foundational. We could spend weeks just talking about the blood.
Yes.
The word of our testimony, what comes out of our mouth? What is coming out of our mouths? Is it defeat? Is it victory?
Right.
Is it unbelief? Is it faith?
Yes.
Is it whatever floats in, or is it God's word coming out of our mouths?
Amen.
And then not loving our lives, even to the point of being willing to lose them.
Right.
Think of the context, the setting of the book of Revelation. The Christians were under attack, serious attack, and both, you know, motivated by the spiritual war, but they were under attack by the authorities.
Right.
And, you know, we have to get to that point where, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 16, take up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
That's where we have to be, because that means that's totally selling out. That's totally surrendering to God and saying, okay, I'm pleading the blood. I'm speaking the word, whatever it takes.
Right.
And, you know, and that means, and that Jesus, he didn't compromise on that. He said, unless you hate your mother and father.
Right.
I mean, compared to your love to me,
you're
not worthy of following.
Our love for God's got to be so much more than we love other people or whatever.
Or other things.
Or things. Or yes.
You know, Jesus, you know, remember Lot's wife? You know, her heart was in Sodom.
Right.
That's why she turned into a pillar of salt.
Right.
It wasn't just that she took a little peek. Her heart was still in Sodom. And we have to know, I mean, we have to have a burning heart for God, because that's where we hit that last part about not loving our lives. Because sometimes, you know, and I speak from experience. I want to love God with all my heart, but you know, there's a couple little things I want to hold back. Those little, I think it's Song of Solomon calls them, those little foxes in the garden that do so much damage. Just those, I want to hold on to this for just a little bit longer, God. I'm not ready to give this up. And yet it's usually those things that are most destructive in our lives that we need to give up, because that way we become totally free to be the kind of soldier, to be the kind of servant God's called us to be.
Amen. Amen. That was good.
That's some preaching there.
Woo, that was.
And by, Pastor Jan.
Woo, we've got the internet up. If you want to comment, you can write us, which is really me, my email, pastor@BOHM, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com, pastor@BOHMglobal.com. During the show, you can write questions, comments, anything you'd like to get in on this discussion. So Megan, he's right about this, and you know the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and we talk about this a lot, and some people have a hard time when you talk about the accuser of the brethren. They just don't get it, don't like that term. The fact that they don't like that term is interesting to me, because that is what the devil does. Talk to me about this, Megan. How does the devil accuse us? Pastor Jim's been talking about it. But in our everyday lives, give us some examples or whatever you'd like to share on that.
Well, sure. You know, you can look at it this way. This is kind of the way I look at it is, there are certain nights of the week that we call the devil's night out.
Well, oh, okay.
I don't truly believe that, because, you know, Satan is out all the time.
He's out all the time.
For people.
Right.
He's not just out one night a week. You know,
Saturday night.
A week, and he's out one night a week. He is out all the time.
Right.
And what I truly believe with the accuser of the brethren, I'm sorry, I know that was a little weird the way I led into that. But people, you know, Satan is coming after the born-again Christian.
Amen.
The sanctified Christian. And the most opportune time he's going to come at you is when you're at church.
Right.
And because, you know, you maybe have doubts about going to church, or you're doubting the words that are coming out of your pastor's mouth. You know, and that's Satan. That is, you know, deceit and lies.
Or
and
people fall asleep.
You really need to have your sword up.
Or people fall asleep, Megan. They get disinterested. They let their mind just wander off somewhere, and they're planning Sunday's meal or something. You know,
right? Like the Sandman has set in, and they're getting sleepy.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when you come to church, you should be fired up, have open ears and open eyes, and your a heart of willingness to listen to what message is being delivered to the congregation. And, you know, nowadays with the way that the things are, we should be very and always supportive of our pastors.
Right.
And, you know, how often are people actually praying for their pastors of their churches?
Right.
Because, you know, anyone that sees so much persecution would be them.
Right.
And we are to support them and support the entire body of the church, because that's God's holy temple.
That's a good point, Megan. And when the word, I think what you're getting at, or at least I'm going to piggyback on that, is when you're in the church setting and in you're in a service where the word is really being taught, the devil's going to do anything he can to keep people from getting that word of God down on the inside of them.
The parable of the sower and the seed.
Right.
You know, the sown along the road.
Right.
You know, it says the devil comes and picks out the word for fear that people would believe and be saved.
Right.
You know, I mean, Jesus said that's, you know, the seed that fell by the roadside. Those are people that hear the word, but the devil comes and plucks it out.
Right.
And you're exactly right, because he doesn't want people to believe and then get saved, and certainly not to bring in that harvest.
Right.
You know, he wants to stop that at any cost.
Absolutely. But the truth is that the word of God, and Megan, you or one of you just quoted it, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to get down. Let's go there, Hebrews 4:12. It's able to get down on the inside of you and judge and separate your thoughts from your... Go ahead, you want to read it? Whatever. What translation are you in, PJ?
New King James.
New King James. Here we go.
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Whoa.
Yeah, that last part's a little on the scary side.
The word of God judges us and gets down in there and shows us our thoughts. Now, I know this happens to me on a regular basis. Megan, you want to talk about this? How when you're reading the word, something comes alive and hits you. We call that the rhema word. But something shows you an attitude or something. You want to talk about that?
Sure. You know, whether you're reading the Bible or even, I can even say of myself being on the radio show.
Right.
You know, I'm letting the Holy Spirit lead the words that come out of my mouth.
Right.
And then I can go back and listen to a previous broadcast, whether it be of myself, of PJ and Nan or Nathan, that there's just something that's like, you know, that has something to do with me. And then God starts dealing with you to yourself about something that you've done, or, you know, that you felt, you know, guilty or remorse about something that maybe you should have asked for forgiveness about.
Right.
And you just kind of let it slough off your back and not go to that point because you were maybe too embarrassed or too prideful to ask for forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But everything there's how many chapters are there in the Bible? I don't even know. You guys would know.
PJ knows probably. 66 books.
66 books. Who knows how many chapters?
Tons of chapters.
Tons. There's always something in the Bible and I can speak for myself, that always ministers to me. And
absolutely, yes.
I was listening to, I've got the Bible app on my iPad, and I was letting it read to me, and it was talking about, you know, let people point their fingers, let people try to dig trenches and put you in them. But by the grace of God and by the word of God, you will not fall into those trenches.
Woo!
Because you are a child of God, and you are saved. You are saved from any condemnation that any person can throw at you.
Oh, that's good stuff. Where were you reading?
I was in Psalms 100. I think it was Psalms 118.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Good stuff. Yes. 118, 119. Really good right there.
Yes.
So you took that for your practical life, right? And you interpreted that and said, okay, I can walk on this word right here. This helps me, right?
Exactly.
PJ wants to comment on that.
Well, and I think it's important, you know, there's kind of two things, that dividing between the soul and spirit and judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, it's really cool when you get a revelation, a rhema revelation from the Word of God. But then, and this is, I think, what Megan was talking about is sometimes you get that where it, you're reading one of the parables or, you know, something, and God says, okay, here's your rhema for today.
Right.
You need to go ask so-and-so for forgiveness.
Right. Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Can I get a revelation? You know, but sometimes it, you're right. We get this other, and it's just as valid.
It's just as valid.
But sometimes, you know, we'll read in the Word, and it does. It'll judge the thoughts and intents of our heart.
Yes.
It'll shed light on something inside of us that maybe we know is there, but we're trying to ignore, or maybe we don't know it's there.
Right.
But all of a sudden, boom. Maybe something you read stirs up a memory and you think, well, I need to take care, you know.
Yeah, I need to forgive.
I need to take care of this.
I need to take care of this, yes.
Yeah, I need to do whatever I need to do to take care of this.
Right, absolutely. Megan, we're going to go to this next song, the one that you sent me yesterday, maybe, by the Sidewalk Prophets, Help Me Find It. Do you want to talk about this? You had a personal experience with the Lord with this song the other day, didn't you?
I did. You know, it all goes back to the, I would call it a big life change that's going to occur here in our family.
Yes, it is.
My mom and dad are relocating 12 miles south of where I am. And
12 miles or 1,200 miles?
12 hours, I'm
sorry. Oh, 12 hours.
12 hours, yeah, 12 hours south of me. And I was at a point where I felt like I was losing control.
Yeah.
And I knew I was standing, but I was pacing back and forth, trying to be a controller of my own life.
Right.
And that can't happen, because when that starts to happen, then you start to feel like you're losing control.
Right.
And I had to get a real strong grip on myself and say, and hear, you know, God say, my child, I will have never left you. You just need to be patient with me.
Right.
And I can tell everyone that's listening that patience has not ever been my most highest quality, and my mom will even attest to that.
Well, just join the club. I don't think it is for most of us. Yeah,
I mean, it's human nature.
Right.
But I have to be patient in this process, because this is a trial in my life.
Right.
That I'm going to be technically alone. My mom and dad are moving away, but I have God.
Right.
And He is my rock. He is my strength. He is my champion.
Right.
He will help me fight any fight that I'm exposed to.
Amen.
And He gives me the words and the wisdom to live by in the Bible. And that's the most important thing we need to hold on to is our sword.
Amen. So here it is from the group Sidewalk Prophets, Help Me Find It.
To seem so clear, I'm finding I can't do this on my own. I don't know where to go from here. As long as I know that you are near, I'm done fighting, I'm finally letting go. I will trust in you, you've never failed before. I will trust in you. If there's a road I should walk, help me find it. If I need to be still, give me peace for the moment. Whatever your will, can you help me find it? Can you help me find it? I don't
great song. Help me find it, Lord. Oh, the path. And some of you out there today may be feeling those words that you just need to find God's plan for you, God's path for you, and find that place of trust and grace and wisdom. Pastor Jim, that's a great song. We gotta do that more.
We need to practice that one at church.
Yes, we need to learn
because
that
there's one. Such a good message there. I mean,
yes,
and it does. It goes along with so much of what we've talked about before, in that we can't wield our sword
right
if we're not trusting in God. I mean,
amen.
If, you know, because the song's talking about loss and impossible, you know, chaos and all this stuff. We have to be centered on God, because that way we can successfully, adequately, appropriately
right.
use the sword.
Oh, amen. And I'll tell you, there's so many people who don't even understand the importance of the sword of the Spirit or how to use it. And we're going to talk about that more during the show. Megan, are you still with us?
I'm with you.
That was quite a song, Megan. So God really spoke to your heart when you were walking the other day and you heard that.
Yes, totally did. I don't have a lot of time by myself with the Lord because I have a 3-year-old that I chase around, but
right.
my times of exercise, that's my time to shut down my mind
right.
and turn on my praise music and just be with the Lord.
Amen.
And listen for him and for his advice.
Right. And boy, when he speaks to us like that and gives us, you know, clear cut direction. And that's the sword here. It is the avenue. I mean, does God just sometimes drop a thought in your heart? Yes. Does he speak prophetically? And he does that with me a lot. You both know that, where he just says, get your little tablet, and I start writing. Like, God gave me a word, and I don't know, we may share it on the show today. I'm not sure. But a word yesterday about his word
mm-hmm.
and how important his word is. And when he drops those things in our heart, amen. Amen. So many times, though, with me, it is I pick up my Bible and I open to something that just comes alive on the page. Or I'm reading and reading and I'm going, God, I don't know what you're trying to say to me. And then he has me turn someplace else and the word just comes alive. Pastor Jim, talk about that. And then we'll get back to Megan on that. It is just amazing how God speaks to us through his word.
Right. And I made this comment, I think on a Wednesday night, either last Wednesday or the Wednesday before.
Okay.
I've been reading the Bible for...
Last Wednesday, I heard you say
almost
this.
Almost 40 yes. years now.
Right. Yes, he's old, people. He's
yeah,
old.
I'm old. yeah. Almost 40 years.
He's almost as old as I am.
I've
but
been
not quite.
Consistently reading the Bible.
Okay.
And it's like manna. It's something
it is
new
manna.
Every day.
Yes, yes.
You know, you'd think after 40 years, it'd be like, you know, first of all, you think I'd have the whole thing memorized.
Right.
I have a good deal of it memorized. But that's not rhema. That's still logos.
Yeah, that's just the
that's,
written
that's having
word.
It, that's having it in my head, which
right.
is fine. But sometimes it'll drop into my heart.
It'll drop into
it
your
becomes,
heart.
It becomes...
Woo!
Not just a verse, it is a verse for me.
Right.
You know, God will drop something. I mean, it just, a verse will just suddenly come alive.
Right.
And years later, that same verse may have to come alive again.
Right. Sometimes there's a distance in time. Megan, I was telling this morning in my sermon, you were not a part of Cornerstone at the time that this happened to me, because you and your mother and your dad hadn't started coming to church until... later on. This was the first year I was pastoring, and I was a young 37. And believe it or not, Megan, I was 46. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, 46.
Right. Whatever. That's a lie, but it's okay. Anyway, moving on. And I was pretty insecure as a brand new pastor with a lot of people in that church, and a lot of them older than me and had been walking with the Lord longer and all that. But one particular day during that first year of pastoring, God brought Jeremiah 15:16, that verse, to me through somebody else in my church. And from that moment on, when she brought me that verse and said, this is for you, it became one of my life verses, if not the life verse for me. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became for me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And that verse has been there with me all these years of ministering and pastoring, all these years of speaking into people's lives, quoting the word, declaring, preaching, teaching. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And the key right there is, it's one thing to know where your Bible is on the shelf, and it's another thing to pick it up off the shelf and dust it off, or find it in the trunk of your car because it's been there for weeks and months. But it's another thing, what, PJ?
To eat the word.
To eat it.
You know, you can find it. It says your words were found. Okay, that's digging that Bible out of your trunk or whatever.
Right.
And I did eat them.
That's the important thing.
Like manna.
Yes.
You have to ingest the word.
And yes.
It's not, I mean, and there's really no excuse for not doing that. I mean, Megan, you mentioned earlier you have the app on your phone, you know, the Bible app. And there's like no reason not to. I mean, even if you're old tech like me and don't have a smartphone.
Right.
Still set aside time every day.
Yes, yes.
To get into the word. And, you know, whatever works best for you, our listeners, whatever works best. The important thing is daily.
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 We need it. Like, we need to eat every day. Like, you don't want to go weeks and not eat food.
Because you'll be famished.
Yes.
You'll be starved.
It's the same thing with the word of God. Talk to us, Megan, about this.
Well, you know, yes, it's so vitally important to eat the words, like the scripture says, but it's even more important, as it says, to digest the
word. Oh, yes.
So even if you find a scripture that you're led to, and you maybe don't understand it, make it a point to find out why God led you to that verse, dig up and dig out some, you know, some study material, ask your pastor, ask your church friend, help me, I was sent here for a reason.
Right.
Because there's a song that I love. It's called Jesus in Disguise.
Oh.
Because sometimes we're led to things, or we have one of those, what do you call it?
A Kairos moment. Yes, a Kairos moment.
And it's like you're led to that point that maybe you don't understand why.
Right.
Sit down, stand, be patient, and let it digest.
Such a good point. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, and following up with that, the concept of meditation.
Right.
It's chewing the cud.
Right.
It's like you don't just you just don't read the word and then put it away. You need to keep it in your mind.
Right.
Over and over and over, thinking about exactly what you said, Megan. Why was I led to this verse? What's its importance to me?
Right.
Maybe I need to share it with my pastor or friends or something. But just, you know, take one, two.
What is God trying to say to
God,
me? Yeah.
You know, and you kind of know kind of which ones God wants you to focus on, because they're the ones that burn your heart, you know?
Right.
Amen.
Exactly. Well, I love the rest of that verse that says, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they became for me. It's a lot of times it's taking that meditation, like you just said, going over it, studying it, write it out on index cards, put it on the visor of your car, speak it over yourself, declare it. And it says, thy words became for me. It's not like they just immediately were the joy and rejoicing in my heart. It is a process of getting that word, the sword of the spirit, getting that word down on the inside of you. They became for me the joy and rejoicing in my heart. Megan, can you say that when you were new in all the word many, many years ago, or maybe sometime in your life when maybe you kind of took a break from the word and you weren't in it that much, when you got back in it, you realized, oh, this is a joy for me. This is a rejoicing for me.
Oh, praise God. You know, I did do that. I got away from my Bible. It was on my shelf. And it's not that I took a break from God, because that was absolutely not what it was. But when I was young, you know, you're surrounded by the teachings. And when you're little, you really don't understand or comprehend what's being taught. Just because, I mean, I don't really remember, but I remember the experiences.
Right.
And that's the most important thing is for children, is that they're going to remember the experiences, and they learn from other people. So what you put your children around is what they're going to learn and how they're going to be, come up as an adult.
Right.
And when I got married, I stepped away from the faith that I'd been and grown up in, and I actually converted to be a Catholic. And, you know, I love God. You can praise God anywhere, but I was not getting fed.
Right.
I was not eating the words. So I got to a point where I got down into a, I guess, into a trench, and I thought, you know, that's it. I've had enough. I'm a fighter because I'm a soldier for God, and I got my Bible out, and it was like, you know, the Bible is your light and the guide of your feet, and it totally brought me back
right
to where I felt I was when I was little, was on fire for God and a fighter for the heavenlies and a fighter to save the people in my life. It ignited me.
The word did that.
I can't let it go, and I will not let it go, because remember when I was in Florida, I laid a stake in the ground.
Yes, you did.
It's still stuck there, and it's not coming out.
Amen. We're going to talk more to Megan and Pastor Jim in just a few minutes. We're so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. And let's have some station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. We're welcome to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in our second hour. Pastor Jim is shaking his head right now, Megan, because he can't believe the hour is already gone, the first hour already.
Me either.
You know that. I every time, and I've done this radio show
years,
so many times, and I'm just amazed. Every time we come up to Station ID, I just think,
oh, wow.
Wow.
Because we are having such a great time talking about the Lord and His Word.
Yeah. And
we love it.
Well, you know.
No place I'd rather be.
Amen. Time flies when you're having fun, and this is about the funnest thing I know.
It is. And today, our topic is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and how the Word of God actually changes your life into such a point that you can look back a year later or a month later and go, whoa, I'm not even thinking the same crazy mm-hmm. thoughts I used to think. We are going to talk about our thought life here in just a moment. We welcome you to join us for a service in our Clearwater, Florida location, and that is 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Of course, this show is on live every Sunday afternoon, and we are on show number 322. Megan, isn't that amazing? We're in our seventh year. And
praise God.
Just consistently and faithfully giving out the word week mm-hmm. after week. We welcome you to join us if you're in the Tampa Bay area for a service Wednesday night, this Wednesday. Megan, we team up with the Indiana Gang, and we have a prayer meeting to beat all prayer meetings, 10,000 strong, 10,000 prayers strong this Wednesday night. And I hope your mom's got Skype working. I'm hoping she can, because we got it working on our end, ready to Skype with y'all.
Well, we will get it, I promise.
All right. Okay, because we're going to get to see your pretty faces, and it's going to be really cool to Skype with our people, too. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And
yes,
and tell us what we're doing, Megan, this Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Anybody's welcome to join us.
We are trying to unite as one. And, you know, this was a one-on-one talk my mom had with God. Is that he said, hey, I need you to find 10,000 people to pray and unite so that there can be, whether it would be a revival, a revelation of some kind on this earth.
Right.
And I totally lost my thought pattern. But I need to get on the website and update what our three main focuses of prayer are going to be Wednesday.
Okay.
And they are, moms abbreviate it, SASA.
Right.
Standing against Satan's attack.
Right.
Standing against Satan's sword, which is the word of God. Number two is salvation of our family, friends, and our nation.
Right.
And then the last one is sanctification.
Right.
And so, you know, whether you want to join for 5 minutes, 30 seconds, no matter how long, just give, during that time, just give a moment of yourself and pray for something in your life or for someone that you know that needs prayer, so that we can unite as a nation under one God and change this world and start saving lives
Amen.
For the kingdom of God.
Amen. Give us your website address. It's
www.10kprayerstrong. I think it's 10kprayerstrong.com.
Yeah, 10kprayerstrong.com. Go there. And you can see what we're talking about. And join us this Wednesday night at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8. And we will be live Skyping also. So just anybody's welcome. We just want you to join. Get on board. We don't care what church you go to. It's nothing like that. We're praying for our nation. We're praying for salvation of souls. We're praying for that, the fact that the word needs to go out in more power and in across these airwaves. And so it's going to be a powerful night. So it's this Wednesday, June 12th, coming up at 6:30 to 8 at Beacon of Hope and with our Indiana gang. And that'll be fun to Skype. So, that's all cool. If you have a prayer request, we ask you to go ahead and send them in, because we will be praying Wednesday night, as Amen. We do every Wednesday night. We have a prayer meeting, but this is a more intense prayer meeting. The whole night will be devoted to prayer this Wednesday. We won't be doing Bible study this week only. It's going to be just prayer. Send your prayer request to prayers@bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So we used to have that as the address, but it was harder for people to remember. So it's prayers@bohmglobal.com. Send your prayer request in. Pastor Jim, you and Carol up in Georgia, you do a great job of picking up those requests. Sometimes Betty jumps in and helps you guys.
Sometimes. And it's Betty, great. If you're listening,
We appreciate the help, don't we? Yeah.
Because I'm kind of limited. I can't really check them until I get home. But, yeah, we pick up the prayer requests. Normally, Carol and I, we send them out to everybody who's listed on the prayer team. And what we do, we put a prayer in there. We, state the request, put the prayer in, so that we're all praying in unity. We're all in agreement about what we want to see God do.
Right.
And we have had miracles. Oh. We've had answered prayer.
My granddaughter's miracle is what's going on with her right now. And so many answers to prayer that are just amazing. Just one right after another. Send your requests in. You don't even have to put your name. Just anonymous if you don't want to sign your name. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Listen to this next song. It is amazing. I love it. We do this one at Beacon, Trading My Sorrows. It's an old song, but it's a wonderful song.
Joy of the Lord.
Amen. It's all got to go. If you are ill today and you're listening to this show either live or later on our website, we can trade sickness and disease. We can trade it in for health and wholeness.
Amen.
We can trade mental anguish as shame and guilt and unbelief and worry and anxiety. We can trade it all in for the joy of the Lord. And we're going to talk about that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. So welcome back and let's get in the word. Isaiah 55. And, you know, we have Pastor Jim and I talk a lot about passages that are so important to us. I love this one. Isaiah 55, starting with verse 10, it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. Well, that would be Indiana. No snow down here, praise God. But as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth. What happens when it rains and snows? It waters the earth, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Now, I was just thinking, PJ, the last few days we've had some rain, and it's been wonderful. This time of year, I love the late afternoon rains that we have in Florida. It's tropical rains, and it's just, it's good, you know, mm-hmm. to have the raining like that, and then all of a sudden, my yard is growing like crazy, and everything needs to be trimmed, and everything is just beautiful and flourishing. Because rain does a work,
yeah.
right? So what it's come down for a purpose, okay? Now, we all know that sometimes we get into floods and all kinds of things, but there is a purpose. Megan, are you there? No, I thought we might have lost her. Okay, Cedric, I think we've lost
her. I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, there we go. We got her back. We got her back. Okay. Let's look at verse 11 of Isaiah 55. So, and this one is so important when we study the importance of the word. So is my word. This is what God is saying. That goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And then we go into all this joy and peace in the next couple verses. I know. Pastor Jim, talk about how the word can change our attitudes, and it is set for a purpose. And Megan, I'm going to get to you right after Jim on this.
Yeah, this verse is so great. In fact, it's just like, again, it just popped out at me again.
It pops out.
Some people tend to just read verse 11, but if you read verse 10 with it,
right.
God's saying the word is like rain.
It is.
Okay, first of all, it says, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It'll not return to me void. Well, we talked about when rain falls,
right?
It causes like the seeds hidden in the earth to spring up. The grass grows, all
Amen.
That. Growth takes place.
Yes.
Well, that's the same thing with the word. It goes out. It gets plant. You know, it soaks in. It causes growth in our lives. And I love that. It will accomplish what I please, what I desire.
Yes.
You know? The word is purposeful.
Intentional.
Intentional. That's the word I was looking
and
for. Thank you.
Right this minute, this word that's going out on this show, whether now or later on the website, is intentionally
intentional.
Getting down into people's hearts, and it is planting seeds there in their hearts.
Exactly. God's word, you know, I love it. He sends it out with a purpose.
With a purpose.
He's not just going to send it out to lay there and do nothing. The word goes forth for a purpose, to
right.
cause something to happen, growth, deliverance, salvation, whatever.
Right.
It goes out with a purpose.
Amen. Ben, or Megan, your husband Ben and my son Ryan actually used to work for the same company, but they are both in the seed corn business and wheat and beans and all that stuff. When a farmer goes out, and I know Ben can really relate to this, a farmer goes out and he buys all this corn seed, he doesn't just throw it out on the pavement where it's not going to take root. He doesn't just throw it up in the air and hope it lands someplace nice. He intentionally plants it, does he not, Megan?
Exactly. Every seed has an intended purpose.
Amen.
And that's to grow.
Right. So,
and you know, go ahead with that. The other thing I was going to add is not only when it rains does it create growth, but rain can also, in the word of speaking of the Bible, can also be cleansing.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when you think about, you know, when we have some torrential rain up here, you know, you have farmers that have just put out their fields, and we had a big concern that there was going to be a 2 or 3 inches of rain come down in a very short period of time. Well, you know, that's scary because there's thousands and millions of dollars put in the ground. But
right.
When you think of it sometimes on a spiritual sense, that could be a cleansing, because that would be like if you lose your crop, you're washing out maybe a seed that wasn't going to grow the way that it should have.
Right.
And then you replant.
Right.
And you can start over, and you can nurture that seed to grow into a beautiful plant. So it can also be a cleansing experience.
Amen. And don't you think so many people never plant the word in their hearts because, A, they may not even know to do that, and B, they just think, oh, well, it's just words. It's just a Bible. It's just a book. You know, Pastor Jim wants to comment on that, and we're coming back to you right after that, man.
Yeah, you know, the word talks, Paul wrote down the washing of the water.
Yes.
You know, presenting, Jesus will present his church as his bride.
Right.
You know, washing with a, you know, purified by the washing of the water with the word.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden, John 13, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet before his crucifixion.
Right.
He says, you know, Peter gets all indignant and says, you're not going to do this. You know, you're not supposed to do this. This is slave work.
Right.
Well, duh, Peter, come on. Jesus said, I came to serve.
Right.
And then Peter, of course, goes to the other extreme. Well, don't just do my feet. Give me a bath.
Right, exactly.
And Jesus said, no, if you've had that bath already, which I believe refers to baptism.
Right.
All you need to do is wash your feet and you're totally clean.
Right.
Well, remember, if the word, rightly so, is water.
Right.
Then you think about it. We walk in the world. We get our feet dirty in the world every day. And we need that cleansing like
Amen.
Megan talked about. And we get in the word and it's just like water.
Woo!
Washing the mud,
yes.
the dust off our feet from having to walk around in the world.
Ooh, good point. Megan, talk to us about this.
Well, you know, another word that I've been trying to learn about is sanctified.
All right.
And
set apart.
We can be saved.
Right.
But we really need to be sanctified.
Right.
Which means I've kind of been learning the definition is that you become holy.
Right.
And you go through a cleansing, which PJ is talking about. You know, if you've been baptized, well, then have your feet washed and you'll be cleansed again. And sanctification to me is meaning that you're tired of being selfish and
Ooh.
That you're ready to clean house.
Woo.
And when you clean house, when you do that, it's you really better be ready to live the way God wants you to live. So you better be getting into the word and you better be sharpening your sword because you have to be prepared. You have mm-hmm. to be prepared every morning when you get out of your bed.
Right.
If you're not, then you're going to probably go through the day feeling defeated and downtrodden. And, you know, you'll think, well, what did I do wrong today? Well, maybe it wasn't that you got out of bed and you didn't say, you know, you didn't put on your armor. You didn't cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. And you didn't get up praising and singing joys to your Creator, that you got up and you were just, oh, here we go again, you know.
Right.
Here we go, got to go to work, and I got to go to school. And you just start, you get down and you get into them one of them funks. Well, you know what? We have got to get out of there. We've got to quit being selfish, and we got to quit thinking that we can do everything on our own, because we can't. We just can't.
You know, Megan, that reminded me of Hoarders. Have you ever seen that show? It is...
Yes.
It is horrible
to watch. Horrible.
And I have had to deal with some cases like that with some people I was counseling through the years. And what happens with hoarders is that they see value in anything like a plastic bag or a, you know, whatever. And their house becomes full of all the things they might need somewhere, sometime. Or they just think, well, I can't get rid of that because, oh, I remember when I bought that. That was special to me or whatever. But it becomes so bad, and I've known people like this through the years, where their house becomes almost uninhabitable,
mm-hmm.
becomes filthy, dirty, you can't clean around all that stuff, and it becomes such a burden to carry all that stuff in their house, leave it there all the time. And it's very hard for these people psychologically to let go of those things. And Megan, I thought of that because you're talking about sanctification means being set apart, letting go of our past, letting go of our selfish things. letting go of the things that make us feel good. So for hoarders, it's a high for them to go buy. There's a sale on paper plates. I knew somebody like this. I'll buy 5,000. All right, just load them up in my truck, and this guy did, and bring them to my house and let them there because I never know when I'm going to need 5,000 paper plates. And I'm not joking about that. That was a reality. Okay, these people had a whole room just devoted to paper goods, floor to ceiling, because you never know when you might need it. Okay, well, it spiritually, we hoard old experiences. We hoard a lot of times injustice, hurts, resentments, bitterness, and we don't want to clean house and get rid of this junk. And the word is what can do it. The word planted is like a spring rain that cleanses us. Woo! That's what I got to say about that.
That's true. I mean, it. And I like what you said
about hoarding.
Well, hoarding, yeah, but about it being holding on to spiritual experiences. Because I'm rereading. Bill Hammond's book about the eternal church. And it's so true. I've seen it happen. I'm pretty sure you have too. Sometimes we hold on to those spiritual experiences.
Right.
You know, God, every denomination started that way, same way, because, you know, Luther got a revelation of justification by faith.
Right.
The Wesleys or the Anabaptists got a revelation of water baptism.
Right.
The Wesleys got a revelation of holiness, and all these different denominations started. You know, the Pentecostals got hold of the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
right?
And we sort of get stuck there, and it takes the word not only to loosen up the bad stuff, the bad memories, the bad experiences, but also sometimes the word has to blast us out of our own
comfort zone
with our spirituality.
Amen.
Because we get, and you know, I agree. I fully am in agreement, Megan, with sanctification, but I've always heard the phrase saved, sanctified, and solidified. We have to avoid being solidified. We have to be
concrete.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to remain pliable and let the Holy Spirit change us. Right.
And the word is what does that.
Yes, that's the point. And with hoarding, people, they're not about to let anybody come in and take their stuff, because what if they might need it someday? So spiritually speaking, we have got to allow the word to cleanse us. That's the point you made a few minutes ago, Megan. We've got to allow the word to do what Hebrews 4:12 said, get down in there and judge our intentions, our motives, judge our hearts. Let the word, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David also said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. David also said, search me, O God, and try my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. And Megan, you referred to it, Psalm 119, 105, which we sang that song today. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's what's got to happen. We've got to let God shine the light on our path and change our old nasty attitudes and get rid of the junk, the clutter in our lives that is keeping us from people that I've known that are hoarders. They don't even have a comfortable place to sit in their house. Have y'all seen that on the show? Where they don't even, and the bed is full of stuff. The chairs are full of stuff. There's no place to sit because they've got all this junk. Woo, Megan, talk about this and then PJ.
Well, you know, that can all swirl back to standing. It's like,
swirl back.
Are you surrounded by so much junk that you can't even just sit down and relax for a minute in the peace of God, that you can't just relinquish all this garbage that you've got surrounded by yourself? Well, guess what? Get out the Word of God, get your dumpster out, and get rid of the trash, people, because your lives will be changed when you truly decide that you have had enough, because you have got to get to that point that you get to where you figure out that when you have had enough, that you're going to stand up and you're going to have on your armor, and you're going to take your life back, and you're going to take it back from Satan, and you're going to give it to God, and Ooh. Your lives will be turned around mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus.
You go, girl, and let's Woo! Listen I'm to this. Up. No, you're good. Let's listen to this song, Overcome, by Jeremy Camp. I think it's going to speak to this very issue. Let's overcome, soldiers. We overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12, 10 to 12. We do overcome, dear ones. We can learn to clean house. We can let God do a work in us. PJ, Megan and I got on that hoarding kick, but really, we really weren't on the hoarding kick. We were discussing.
Well, that's a really, it's a good metaphor.
Yeah.
It's a really good metaphor for what goes on. And I love that song by Jeremy Camp.
Oh,
that
I do
just
too.
So good, because I think it focuses, kind of going back to the first scripture we looked at today, be strong in the Lord and in yes. the power of his might. You know, we have to remember, Jesus is the ultimate overcomer, and it's because
Amen.
He overcame
right.
that we overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can try, again, we can try and overcome, but we can't do it apart from Jesus.
No.
There's no way. All we're going to do is fail.
Romans 8:11, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, It'll give life, Zoe, the God kind of life, to our mortal bodies. And it's amazing what God does when we allow him control mm-hmm. and we really concentrate and major on the Word of God. It's no coincidence that when kids get out of high school and they decide to go to college, they're asked to declare a major. You know, you and I ended up going to the same college, PJ and Ball State University. We didn't even know each other then because, you know, he's older than me or something like that.
Right.
Or the other way around or something. I don't know. But anyway, you declared a major. Mine was pre-med, biology and chemistry. What was yours?
Well, eventually it fell to social work.
Social work. Okay, but you declare a major right. when you go to school. You major on. And when, you know, when we start really getting in the Word, we major on allowing the God of the universe who created us, who knows us so well, to get down on the inside of us with his Word, then the right verses will come alive. Mm-hmm. The right things, and we major on getting more like Jesus. Megan, talk to us about this. This is just so powerful. We overcome.
It is. You know, talking about lighting people up with the glory of the Lord is, you know, too many people walk around shuffling their feet with their mouths hanging open, you know, having a pity party.
Exactly.
And worrying about what, you know, Joe Schmo said about him to whoever.
Right.
And worrying about, what's that word, that karma is going to come back around.
Right.
Well, you know what? Quit worrying about everybody else and start worrying about you.
Right.
And what words are coming out of your mouth. Because are you portraying love? Are you portraying Jesus through your life? You have to look at yourself in the mirror and wonder if you're truly doing that or if you're walking around, you know, just kind of smoldering there on the ground and not letting the Word of God ignite your fire so that it can spread out. Even when people look in your eyes, they can see it.
Absolutely. But the big part of the problem right there, Megan, is so many people don't recognize their need for the Word or the laziness, the apathy, and the complacency is so strong in them that it's like, yeah, I know, I need to read the Word. And they don't ever get around to it. Talk to me about that, PJ, and we'll go back to Megan.
Well, yeah, that one's kind of hard for me to identify with because that's never been an issue.
No, you're a teacher and a scholar of the Word.
Quite honestly, I love reading the Word.
Right.
But I know that some people just think they can live without it. And maybe it's just that lukewarmness.
Right.
You know, I don't know. But that's such a scheme of the devil.
It is.
I can live without the Word. No.
Right.
I don't really have to read it. No, you do.
Right.
It's just an attitude. I understand. On one level, I understand it.
Right.
Because, I mean, there are some things I'm complacent about. Reading the Word of God is not one of them. So I understand that part of it, but how you can possibly, you know, I guess I would just say to somebody, if you're feeling that way, take 5 minutes a day and read the Bible.
Right.
Just
exactly.
Start with 5 minutes. And God will start putting things in your heart. In my mind, I'm seeing like wind blowing on coals,
right?
Getting on embers that are about to go out, but all of a sudden there's a little bit of tinder added, and all of a sudden they burst into flame, and that's what God will do with us.
Yes.
If we just submit to Him, He'll set us on fire.
Right. It'll change us entirely. Megan, talk to us about that. It really, the Word of God does change our attitudes, our thoughts, our behaviors. All of it. It does. It changes us.
It totally does. And when you get to that point, you have to stay studied up. You got to keep sharpening your sword because
stay studied up.
It is
possible. All right.
Yeah, you got to feed yourself.
Right.
Because it is possible. We are human. We are not pure as Jesus was. We are human. And we are going to backslide. I've done it. I've gone without reading the Word. And I'll tell you what, it was a very humdrum point in my life, and I never want to go back there again. And the thing nowadays is, like we were talking earlier, there are so many different ways to get the Bible. There's apps for it, and look at all of the different versions of the Bible that there are.
Right.
I mean, I had, you know, I used to just look at the NIV, and then when we came down to Florida to see you, you introduced me to the Message Bible, and I was like, wow, this is great. I can totally just open the Bible and read a scripture, and I understand it.
Right.
So, you know, you go into a bookstore and ask somebody, hey, I need some help. I need to be to find a Bible that I can relate to. The other thing is go to church, because when you go to church and you're around a body of believers and you're around a pastor that's ministering to you, that you're going to learn about the Bible. And, you know, whatever you get on that Sunday sermon is just meditate on that all week and let it sow your spirit and let it get down inside of you and feed your spirit and learn that way. I mean, there are multiple ways to learn and study and learn about the promises of God. I mean,
amen.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere. Yesterday morning at my desk very early, the Lord told me, and he does this so many times, just get my little black notebook and write down what he's about to tell me. I had no idea what he was about to tell me. I never know when this stuff starts. I will say that when the prophetic ministry begins to happen like this, I am writing as fast as I can, and you can barely even read my writing. It's just coming. It's pouring out. And I'm going to read this from yesterday because I think this really sums up what God is. This is a word from God to us, to anybody out there in Radio Land who will receive it for yourself. And here it is. And if you want a copy, just send me an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Yes, my child, I am always faithful to my word. No word of mine can fail. Pastor Jim and Agan, in a minute, I want you to comment on some of this. It does not return void without accomplishing what I sent it to do. When you speak my word, heaven responds with messengers to carry out my word. The words that you speak, my words, are tremendously powerful weapons to demolish strongholds and break down even the strongest resistance of the evil one. You must never fear your circumstances, because my words, spoken in faith and sincerity, will break down even the strongest resistance. So move forward in my dynamic power, declaring, proclaiming, and knowing beyond any doubt that I hear and answer, and I do respond to my word as you declare it over your situations. My word is the sword of the Spirit, able to penetrate the hardest, most entrenched attitudes and behaviors. Yes, I came to set the captives free. My children know this. Yes, know that you will not die in the dungeon, nor will your bread be lacking, but you will be set free from all the chains that bind you. Yes, set free, my children, to live victoriously above and beyond all that the enemy would try to do to you, to bring you down, to defeat you. So rise up above all of this, every sin which so easily entangles you, and run with endurance the race that's set before you. My grace and mercy will come in powerful waves to give you wisdom and strength to overcome any and all trials that come your way. Speak my word and watch your problems be resolved. Yes, speak my word, use that sword, and cut through all the tricks and schemes of the evil one. My peace and wisdom will overflow you with new joy, resolve, and strength. Yes, do all of this and watch me work in your behalf, saith the Lord your God, who loves you so very much. PJ, then Megan.
Well, I so appreciated that, and it was hard for me to stop nudging Ray this morning.
Really?
Well, because that's what happened with me. There are two scriptures that I held on to faithfully.
Right.
I mean, you know, Philippians 1:6.
Right.
He who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Messiah.
Right.
And then Romans 4, 16:15-16-18, about Abraham, you know, hoping against hope, just believing.
Right.
Even when it looked, and he had to wait 25 years for his child to be born, but he, you know, he looked at the hopelessness of the situation. He didn't give up. He glorified God and he believed God, and
Amen.
He got Isaac.
He did.
And there was just some stuff that I had been praying about, you know, Pastor, I've been praying about for a long time. And I clung on to those two scriptures.
Yes.
And
Amen.
You know, God's faithful.
He is faithful.
I mean, because I confess those words. I believe those words.
Right.
I held on to those words. And God moved just like was in the word that you were given. God moved.
He responds to his word.
Right. That word did not return to him void.
Exactly.
It did what he wanted it to do.
Yes, it did.
Yes, I had to wait. It wasn't an instant thing. And
right.
Waiting is hard.
Right.
But it happened.
Right. Amen. Megan, talk to us about this.
Oh, praise God. You know, that word that you got from the Lord this morning, that totally led in to what we're talking about here on the radio show.
Right.
And when we talk about the armor of God, is we talk about it as on a defense and an offense standpoint.
Right.
Is the armor is our defense
right.
to the attacks of the evil one. And then we have two levels of offense, which would be the Word of God,
right.
which is what God is telling you this morning. And the other one is he's trying to tell us is prayer.
Right.
And those are the words that come out of our mouth that, you know, when we are in need of help and when we are in need of guidance, God always hears our prayers.
Amen.
And he never turns his back on us. And we wanted to mention Galatians 5:1. It says
yes,
that Christ
I forgot
set
that
us
one.
Free. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you.
Woo!
So
yes.
That's to anybody that needs to hear that, and they knew who they are. And it even ministered to me this morning because, you know, you get attacked on a daily basis, but it's like, you know what? I know about myself that I'm a fighter for the kingdom of God.
Right.
And when people try to condemn me, guess what? You're only fueling the fire that I have inside of me to fight spiritually against the attack that you just tried to plant on me.
Right, exactly.
That, you know, that nothing can take you down because, what is it, Hebrews 4:13, nothing and no one is impervious to God's word.
Right.
So even if I don't quote it at their face, you know, if I quote it in a prayer for them or
right.
for myself,
yes.
it will be answered.
Amen. Because it is the word, and the word is stronger and more powerful
Amen.
Than a two-edged sword. So that's exactly right. I'm glad you brought up Galatians 5:1. I was just sitting here thinking we haven't included that, and I wanted to. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Dear ones, God wants you free of anything and everything that entangles you. Hebrews says, run the race with endurance. Don't give in to the things that trip you up and entangle you. And remember that it's God's grace that's going to see you through. I mean, his grace is sometimes defined as his unmerited favor. But it's when we don't deserve it. But we have it. We have his mm-hmm. grace, and his truth is the word of God. Do you want to say something, PJ, before we do this song?
Oh, no.
Oh, my. Megan, this is the song that you and your mom sang in our church last fall, and I love it. It's by Karen Peck. I wish, and the group New River, I wish it were Megan and Betty. But here it is, Behind the Line of Grace.
God's children quietly lie in wait while the battle rages on. Rules of this war say that God will always shield his own. And though afraid, danger well in sight, sometimes we're just too tired to try. He tells us to be still and know and wait behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. There's no weapon that can stand against the wall God built in our defense. We may not always see his face, but we're secure behind the line of grace. Withdraw his eyes from the righteous night or day. We may not always see him, but he knows the way we take. When we have no strength, no power to fight, and it seems like God is nowhere in sight, he steps in front of the enemy while we rest behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe.
God. Woo! Love that song. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? And we know, we've been talking about it in the show, the devil tries to bring charges, condemnation, to put guilt, to put all kinds of shame on people. It is God who justifies. Remember this. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all
unrighteousness.
So who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Verse 35 of Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then we've got to read the next couple of verses. For I am convinced, Paul wrote this, and boy, he's convinced, I am too. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's what the Word says about our position in God. Woo, Pastor Jim, talk about that, and then we'll go to Megan here. We've got just a few more minutes,
guys. How much more secure could we be?
Nothing's going to separate us.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, boy, I mean, I love it. If, you know, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Well,
right.
It's kind of a rhetorical question because we know who's against us.
Right.
And he says, you know, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, isn't he going to give us everything?
Right.
I mean, that speaks right to a lot of issues that people have with not believing that God is on their side. They're not believing that God is good, that God is for them.
Right.
Right here it is. If you're feeling that way, read and reread these verses, because it says, who's going to bring a charge against you? Satan's going to try.
Right.
But it's God who makes you righteous.
Amen. And it's the Word right there that's telling us the truth of the Word.
Who's going to condemn you?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Satan's going to try.
Right.
But it's Christ who died, was raised from the dead, is at the right hand of the Father, always interceding for you.
Amen.
You know, I just get the feeling there's somebody out there that really needed to hear this, that God is on your side. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to condemn you. You know, he's not mad at you anymore.
Right.
You know, he sent Jesus to die. Jesus went to the cross, took the punishment for your sins.
Right.
rose from the dead, and Amen. Now is it God the Father's right hand
Amen.
Interceding on your behalf.
Woo, praise God. Megan, what do you have to say to all of that?
Oh, my. Well, you know what? After hearing that song, Behind the Line of Grace, is that I see this line of warriors, and they're all joining hands. It's a never-ending line
Woo.
That not be broken.
Right.
And those are, Behind the Line of Grace, those are the soldiers for the Lord. And we are covered from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. We've got our armor on.
Right.
Nothing can penetrate that. That is the, and just like in Romans that you just read, that's another promise that if you can't believe that, then I don't know what you should believe, because that is, that's huge.
That's huge.
And it is. It's, you can't even fathom it. You know,
right.
Nothing can touch us. Yes. We can be hurt physically, or we can be hurt emotionally, but we will never be condemned, because we are under the grace and we are behind the line of grace.
Oh, mm-hmm. Amen. We've got, and Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father and to teach us about that grace, and said he was full of grace and truth. So some of you out there today may need a touch from Almighty God, and that's what he wants to do, is touch your life and change your thinking. He wants you to rearrange your thoughts and your attitudes, and let the Word of God that we've been talking about today, the sword of the Spirit, get down on the inside of you to such an extent that it changes your behavior, changes your attitudes. Allow God to plant his seed, the seed of the Word, into your life, which means you have to expose yourself to the seed. You got to hear it. You got to read it. Mm-hmm. You got to read it out loud. I would encourage you, read it out loud. Some of the darkest times of my life, when I really had my back up against a wall, I grab my Bible and I start reading Psalms out loud. I walk around my house and I read Psalms out loud and declare it over myself. And I will change the pronouns and say, but as for me, you know, in my house, we will serve the Lord, or whatever it is. And change those verses only to make it personal for you, and declare it over yourself, you know, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, you know, they stumbled and fell, because the Lord is the one who sustains me. And you take those words in Psalms in particular and just read them for yourself, declare it, and you will feel a shift in your attitude. Mm-hmm. Pastor Jim, talk to me about that, because I do when I quote the word like that over myself.
Well, and again, the word almost builds up that wall of grace from
right.
the song.
Right.
Exactly. You quote the scripture to yourself. You say it out loud. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
It's that cycle of hearing it, growing, hearing it, growing,
yes.
hearing it, growing. And we just become stronger that way. And I know, you know, there are scriptures, when I'm out walking the dog, I'll
right.
either pray in the spirit or just quote scriptures to the dog.
Right.
You know, because that,
exactly.
that builds up my faith.
Right.
You know.
And it helps Misty behave,
It
too.
Helps Misty behave and not attack the mother duck we now have in our
right.
yard.
There you go. Right. So there you go. Megan, talk to us about all of this. This is such a vitally important subject, that the importance and the absolute veracity, truth of the Word of God changing us. Talk to us.
Well, you know, when you have the idea that you want to be changed, you need to be sure that you're ready for it to stick.
Oh, Megan, that is so wise out of such a young one.
Oh, thank you. It's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When you retreat, then you are letting yourself up for the devil to attack you.
Right, exactly.
So when you decide you're ready for change, then get it down deep in your heart and in your spirit, because then you can use the words out of the Bible to change your circumstances.
Right.
And then when the devil tries to attack you, and you use the Bible just like Jesus did when he was tempted in the desert.
Exactly.
Then we know from the Bible that the devil left a loser.
That's right.
There was nothing he could do. He couldn't touch him.
Amen.
And, you know, the other thing that we have through Jesus is that we have a liberty. It's not that we're under like a law, that we're going to be, you know, put in jail if we happen to, you know, step backwards, you know, for a brief moment, and then we come back. We're not going to be judged. We're not going to be attacked, because, like PJ said, that God is not angry at us anymore.
Right.
He sent his son to forgive us of all of our sins. And that we need to remember that our conduct should be pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We should not be worried about what everybody else thinks.
Right.
We should be worried about being pleasing to our Father.
Amen. And if we are wanting to please the Lord, he says, get in the Word. Study the Word. Study to show yourself approved. There's no excuse for not getting into the Word, except there are so many excuses that people come up with. I'm too busy, I'm tired, whatever, I'm sick, whatever the case may be. But it's the Word that will change you and cause you to become like Jesus. And that is the goal of our Christian lives. Let's become like Jesus. Let's become victorious soldiers and warriors and use the Word. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is powerful. Yes, it says in James 4:7-8, submit to God, draw close to God. He will draw close to you. Resist the devil.
And he will flee.
And he will flee from you. Your final thoughts there, Pastor Jim, then I'll come back to you, Megan, for a final thought here.
Again, I think throughout this whole thing we've talked about, our standing has to be active. It's not something that we can grow complacent about. It's not something we can be passive about.
Right.
And I really like what Megan said earlier. We have to almost, again, put that stake in the sand, draw that line in the sand.
Right.
Then just say, okay, up to here and no further.
Right. We have to stand our ground.
I'm not going to let Satan have any more territory. But there
Amen.
Is. You know, Megan, you said it. You got to be ready for what's going to happen then, because, you know, God does not take making vows lightly.
Right.
He'll hold you to it.
Amen.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Right.
Very important. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Yes, Megan in Indiana.
Yes, Marcia and PJ in Tampa, Clearwater, Florida.
Do you have a final thought for our listening audience?
You know, we have a lot of promises that come out of the Bible. But the one that sticks out to me the most in what we've been talking about is people that are willing to become overcomers.
Right.
So what that means is if you're willing to change and you're willing to become an overcomer, then you are gifted with all of the promises out of the Bible.
Amen.
The one that sticks out to me is eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And none of those promises are going to be given to people who remain as they are.
Right.
So if you're in a dead-end situation, get in the front of the mirror and say, how much more of this am I going to put up with?
Right, there you go.
How much more, you know, how much longer am I going to lead my own life? I'm ready for God to take over.
Ooh, amen. Amen. Thank you, thank you. You both are wonderful members of this radio team, and God bless you. To our listening audience, we welcome you to join us for a service in our Clearwater location. Whenever that's convenient for you, go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You can find out all the details there. Beacon of Hope Ministries, that ends in IES.com. Prayer requests, send them in. We have such a wonderful prayer team that fields all these requests that come from so many places. Prayers@bohmglobal.com. And your prayer request will be answered. God will actually move in your life.
Amen.
He really will. And we will get the prayer team praying for your situation. Prayers@bohmglobal.com. If you'd like to be a financial partner with us, also go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can go to PayPal, and you can give a donation. If this is your church, and a lot of people it is your church, give your tithes and your offerings. Go to PayPal and plant your financial seed, and that will pay. It will support this radio broadcast. We're now in our 7th year, and we thank God for that. And every single week, God has provided the finances for this show, this 2-hour show, and we thank God for that every single week. So become a financial partner with us, and know that God loves you, and you can reach out to us if you need counsel, you need prayer. Just write me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, or Pastor Jim, my associate. And his email is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. Mine is just pastor@bohmglobal.com. So anyway, it's not far to Jesus. God bless you all. It's been a great time in the Word and with the music today. Have a great week. You can catch the show again by tomorrow on our website, and it will stay there. So beaconofhopeministries.com. Have a great week. If we can help you, reach out to us. Know that it is not far to Jesus. He is right there, ready to answer your prayers and talk to you. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week live on this same station. God bless you. There's no need for you.
Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.